Bottom of the hour, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. This segment of the program brought to you by our good friends at Keener Jerseys. Keener Jerseys are known as one of the world's best jersey customizers. If you want awesome jerseys for your rec team or have a jersey you want personalized, visit Keener Jerseys online at keenerjerseys.com or check out their new showroom, 982 Portage Avenue. Keener Jerseys, where craftsmanship makes all the difference.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome to the program our very good friend, Michael Trakos. He's the national hockey writer for Post Media. You can read his work in the National Post and on the various Sun newspapers. Michael, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning to you guys. How are you guys doing this All-Star weekend?
Doing lovely, Michael. How about yourself? You're down in sunny Los Angeles for the All-Star weekend?
I am, and it is sunny. Last weekend, I heard they had like hail down here, and couldn't be better in terms of the weather down here. And it's just when you look around, I'm in the lobby right now, and I've got everyone from Bobby Orr to Dave Keon to Frank Mahovlich, Joe Nieuwendyk, and Nick Lidstrom all hanging around. It's quite surreal when you're talking about all the best players that are kind of all in one setting for a really special time here.
Yeah, well, one of the players not mentioned is a guy that we were just discussing. might see where this one's going there. Yeah, they're Michael Dale Hawerchuk, omitted from the top 100 list. Obviously, and those who voted on this poll not making any friends in Winnipeg. Do you see that as being one of the most significant snubs from that top 100 list?
I would think so, and that's the name that everyone was talking about last night, and not just guys from Winnipeg. Americans, Canadians, just fans of the game. I remember running into Kenny Campbell from the Hockey News, and he was just livid. He's like, can you believe it? Like, how did they leave Hawerchuk off the list? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And you knew there was going to be names like that. Maybe not to the extent of Hawerchuk, but you knew there were going to be names where you're going, oh, geez, how did he not make the list? Because 100 names is not a lot. Like, I think there's something like close to 300 players in the Hall of Fame, and that's not including active guys or guys that are sort of on their way there, like the Jagers. So it is kind of perplexing. At the same time, when you look at that list, it's still hard to think like which guy you would take off to make room for one or two more names.
Michael, you mentioned, you know, all of the stars that you're surrounded by at the NHL All-Star Game this weekend in Los Angeles. There's a lot going on, as you know, in the LA sports market. What kind of dent is this event making in the sports pages down in Los Angeles?
That's a good question. I haven't picked up an LA Times, so I can't actually answer that question accurately. All I'll say for the amount of buzz it's creating, certainly around the arena here at what's known as LA Live, like basically a few square blocks. They've made a significant footprint. You're seeing definite fans hanging around here. It was packed last night. So on that end of it, it looks like people are paying attention. That being said, this is a still far hike from like Hollywood Hills and the actual main drag and main strip. So over there, there's no all-star signage or anything like that. It's business as usual in LA. But it's to be expected when you go to a market like this.
Michael, I know the Leafs Brain Trust has tried to minimize the rookies, the exposures that the rookies have had, and you know Austin Matthews is going to have a significant amount in L.A. Are they going to be okay with him being all Hollywood this weekend?
Yeah, that's right. Lou's speaking on behalf of Austin today. No, they've been good. You know what? I think they've been productive to a certain extent. When we knew that they were going to draft first overall, there were the obvious questions because last year they definitely protected their rookies and they just let the veterans kind of do the talking after games and even game day morning skates and things like that. But I think they realize when they've got a player like Austin Matthews and even Mitch Marner to that extent, you can't shield these kids away. The world wants to know what they're thinking, what they have to say. And it makes sense. These guys are already best players in the league. So we're going to see a lot of Austin Matthews. We're going to see a lot of Patrick Laine. I think that's great for the game.
Michael Trakos of Post Media is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Michael joins us from the All-Star Game in Los Angeles. Michael, you wrote about Connor McDavid earlier, this week in the various Sun and Post Media newspapers. What's it like sort of being around there and seeing the scene of the sort of the young up-and-comers, the next generation, the McDavid, the Laines, the Matthews, and seeing them sort of interact with the legends of the game that have been in attendance in Los Angeles for this unveiling of the top 100?
Surreal. And that was the word Jonathan Toews used. And he's not a young guy like a Connor McDavid. And at the same time, like when he was announced as the top 100 players, he looked like a kid again. He said it's one of those welcome to the NHL moments where you're pinching yourself going, well, I don't quite belong here. It's like being a rookie and you're facing off against like a Mario Lemieux and you're going, geez, this is a little too much too soon. And being in this kind of setting, it's the same kind of thing. For Connor McDavid, I imagine there's already the talk. And even Wayne Gretzky, when I talked to him after the game, I said, I know there's that eye rolling whenever you say Connor versus Crosby, is this premature? And he cut me off right away and says, hey, listen, here's my view on it. It can never be too premature. The fact that we're even asking this question means that Connor's doing something where there is a sort of debate. And he says, that being said, with the way that Crosby has been playing, not just this year, but obviously his whole career, he's still the king of the mountain, and he's got these young guys like Connor, Patrick Laine, and Austin Matthews sort of nipping at his heels. And to the same degree, it's like when Crosby and Toews entered the league and Ovechkin. You still had guys like Sakic. You still had guys like Lemieux in the league, and they were still the kings. And while we all knew that the Crosbys were going to take over, and they were probably going to take over sooner than anyone could really expect, until they started winning cups, until they started winning silverware or hardware, those legends were still going to be the top guys. So I think it's fun. When I think of Connor McDavid right now, and he's only in his first real full season where he's still playing teams like for the first time, and he's doing what he's doing, it's amazing. And you hear the old guys talk about it, and they're cognizant of just what kind of special talent this guy is. It is kind of amazing. And same thing with Patrick. Hearing Kimo Salani last night talk about how proud he is to watch him play as a fellow Finn and just as a hockey player, it makes you think like, okay, it's not just me who's building up this hype. Like, the legends of the game think the same thing.
Michael, going back to the Toronto Maple Leafs, we're at the All-Star break right now. The Toronto Maple Leafs are 1 point behind the Philadelphia Flyers for that last wild card spot. They've played three less games than the Philadelphia Flyers and two less games than the New York Rangers, who are in the first wild card spot right now. Is it time for people to start realizing that not only do the Toronto Maple Leafs have a better team than they had last year, but there is a legitimate shot that they make the playoffs this year?
I'd be shocked right now if they didn't make the playoffs. And that's just based on the way they play. Like, even the games they lose, they're out shooting the teams mostly. A lot of times the third period meltdown, and I would chalk that up to just a bunch of young kids who aren't quite maybe defensively there yet. And maybe that's the worry, because the games are going to get tighter right now. After the All-Star break, as the season goes on, we start getting those kind of playoff-type scores. And maybe the only question I have is Toronto built to win a 1-0 or a 2-1 type game? They've got the goaltender to do it. And they've got a significant buy-in from not just the rookies, but even the veterans like Nazem Kadri and James Van Riemsdyk. So you got Mike Babcock as a coach, and everyone is on the same page there. I almost expect the Leafs just to get better and better as the season goes on. I don't see them hitting rookie walls. I don't see them kind of going off the cliff like they have traditionally as a franchise in the second half. If anything, I just think they're going to put it more and more together and just become more of that complete team.
Michael, in this instant gratification society, we always feel a need to label, this one's the best, this one's the second best. So, of course, we have the Patrick Laine, Austin Matthews race, the Calder race. People are talking about them. Patrick Laine, to his credit for the most part, hasn't really engaged it. He's mostly focused on his own game whenever asked about the subject. What's it been like from Austin Matthews' perspective? Has it, come up a lot in conversation? And if it has, what has his response been?
It's only come up When I bring it up. And I brought it up at the World Cup, and I brought it up again when they faced off against each other earlier in the year. He doesn't concern himself. You know, Austin Matthews is like a 30-year-old veteran in a rookie's body. It's hilarious to see, like, how polished he is, and not in a phony way. Like, he just has that stoicism about him where you're going, oh, geez, this kid's going to be fine. And if ever there was a kid that was really kind of born to play in Toronto in a media hotbed, it's Austin. So, yeah, he doesn't concern himself with that. Anytime you do give him questions, he just brushes it off and says, yeah, I respect Patrick as a player. I'm not thinking rookie, called a race or anything like that. And it's everything you want to hear, but it also sounds genuine. Like, I think individually these guys are really just worried about their own teams and their own seasons. And everything else is going to shake out at the end. And it's going to be a difficult choice because, you know, Patrick is going to put up just ridiculous goals as the season continues and now that he's healthy. And Austin's going to probably do the same. And he's playing maybe arguably the hardest position in hockey. So it's really going to be a tough decision. And I think maybe Austin's going to get the edge just because he plays center, because he's got rookies as line mates, and maybe because the Leafs are going to be a better team when all is said and done at the end of the year.
Michael Tracos, our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Michael, you know, the cliche of the year has been that it's a young man's game, and it's a young man's game, and everything's about it being a young man's game. You know, because it's such a young man's game, and I mean, it's a cliche, but it's fairly accurate, is sort of that learning curve that players used to be allowed to sort of get their feet under them, has that really been accelerated dramatically? Is it now a much steeper curve because teams just don't have the opportunity, don't have the time to let a player really develop in the NHL, that they need to really hit the ground running once they've made it to the big league?
I think so, to an extent, though. Like, we're still seeing guys like Jack Roslovic in Winnipeg, like, earning his stripes in the minors, and even Kyle Connor to a degree. And the guys that are able to kind of, like you said, hit the ground running, they're special players. Let's not kid ourselves. Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Patrick Laine, even, like, well, Mitch Marner spent another year in junior. Like, there are questions about him. So I think you have to be really special to be in that class where you not only go from the draft floor to the NHL, or even if you spend an extra year in junior and then you go to the NHL and you become a star. I think those are special players. The guys like Zach Werenski, who as a 19-year-old is putting up the numbers that he is, it doesn't happen. And I don't think we should expect it to happen. Like, I almost feel sorry for the 2017 draft class, where a lot of people are saying, like, there's not that number one stud. There's not that McDavid or Matthews in that class. And yet those guys are going to be held up to the same kind of degree as those other the players before them. And it is going to be patently unfair.
So, Michael, we know you're going to be at the All-Star Skills Competition later today, but what's the plan for later tonight? Are you going to be, you know, at the after parties with Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga? What's the plan?
I heard Snoop is actually performing at a private NHL function. So my whole day is going to be trying to procure some tickets.
Really? Snoop? Just doesn't really seem like he'd fit in with the typical NHL player, but I think that'd be a pretty good show.
Oh, yeah. Well, the typical NHL player, I still think of as listening to classic 70s, like Alice Cooper and hair metal and stuff. And I think the days are changing slowly, where now kids are coming in the league and now they're listening to, like you said, maybe not Lady Gaga, but maybe like Wiz Khalifa and guys of that ilk.
But Mike, are you going to be sipping on gin and juice?
Maybe not gin. Vodka and juice.
Michael Tracos joins us from Los Angeles, where the NHL All-Star Weekend is taking place. Michael, thank you for this. We'll let you get back to stargazing in the lobby as all the legends walk past you.
All right, thanks, boys. Have a good one.
Take care, Michael. Thanks very much. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll touch on some NHL trade rumors as we're about 5 weeks away from the trade deadline. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, big thanks to Michael Tracos of Post Media, national hockey writer for that fine newspaper chain. In case you missed any of that, in case you missed the interviews we conducted earlier with Brandon Crow of the Brandon Wheat Kings or Paul Edmonds, Winnipeg Jets broadcaster here on TSN 1290, it's all available for download on iTunes. It's on tsn1290.ca, and it's also available on our website, illegalcurve.com. Remember, in 10 minutes' time, 11 a.m. sharp, the show that doesn't take calls is going to take calls. So get your opinions ready. Get your questions ready. 204-780-1290. That's the Boston Pizza fan line. We have a number of questions, subject matter we're going to bring up that, you know, we want to hear your opinions on. So again, that's in 10 minutes time. We're going to take some calls here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Yeah, we want to know who you think is going to win the 2017 Royal Rumble.
Nobody wants to know that.
I think so. Now that we've seen Brock Lesnar,
and producer Chris is saying he wants to know that.
Yeah, well, Brock Lesnar was at the Jets game.
That's true. Brock Lesnar was at
Chris Jericho was at the Jets game.
That's true.
So I think Jets fans are interested in who wins the Royal Rumble.
Is the Royal Rumble this weekend?
Yep.
Ah, okay. Good to know. Who do you think is going to win?
I'll take Roman Reigns.
Mm. Chris? No, you say somebody completely different. We got Chris excited here. He's a big wrestling fan.
I'm a huge wrestling fan. I don't know. There's probably like 10 people who could win this year. So
you literally have about 4 seconds. So give me a name.
Go with Undertaker.
Undertaker. Okay, there you go. Chris is picking the Undertaker as he's got Roman Reigns. Dave, do you have any idea at all?
No clue.
Okay, there we go.
It's not Macho Man or Jake the Snake. I have no idea.
I remember back.
Has he met Jake the Snake a couple weeks ago?
Oh, yeah, I did. We talked about that.
I remember back in the 1990s, the Undertaker put Kamala in a casket and defeated him at Royal Rumble.
You do the Kamala, don't you, when you go like this?
Yeah. He's actually he's the reincarnated version of Kamala is what Ezzy is. Let's head to insider trading with some of our friends, the TSN Hockey Insiders from earlier this week.
The start of the year, it looked like the Pens were going to be happy with having Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray throughout the entire year. You never know. Somebody might get hurt. But now it's starting to become a little more contentious.
Well, look, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury is frustrated, and I think that we can all understand why. No one wants to be sitting on the bench, particularly when you're a Stanley Cup winning goaltender, a veteran goaltender, a professional, works hard in practice, gives everything that he can possibly give. And the Pittsburgh Penguins are appreciative of that, and they want to do what's right by Marc-Andre Fleury. 6 straight starts for Matt Murray, so it doesn't look like the picture is getting any rosier for Marc-Andre Fleury, and the Penguins don't want this to linger to become a distraction between now and March 1st. The problem is this story has been ongoing. Everybody knows that Marc-Andre Fleury is available for trade, but Jim Rutherford and the Pittsburgh Penguins have to get something that matters in return, and that's not easy.
Lots of interesting discussion about Marc-Andre Fleury. That was the name talked about there on the insider trading clip with Bob McKenzie and with Darren Dreger and Gino Retta. Is he sort of the wild card as we enter into this upcoming NHL trade deadline period? You know, like I said, about 5 weeks away, give or take 4.5 weeks on Wednesday, March 1st is the trade deadline. He's now clearly seems to be the backup behind Matt Murray. Do you see him, the Penguins, maybe putting him up for auction now? Or do you think they try and wait until just before the expansion draft when, I mean, they can't lose Matt Murray in the expansion draft, and Marc-Andre Fleury has the no-move clause, so the Penguins are really in a rock and a hard place. They're saying they want this big return for Marc-Andre Fleury. Why would any team give them a big return knowing that they have the Penguins behind the eight ball?
Well, and I think he is the wild card, and I think you can throw in Ben Bishop in there as well, but maybe not as much now that the Tampa Bay Lightning look like they might not make the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury hasn't just been the backup this year, but he was the backup in the playoffs when the Penguins won the Stanley Cup. Matt Murray played the majority of the games. He was a big reason why the Penguins won the Cup. So you're right, Drew. I mean, Matt Murray is the goaltender of the future for the Penguins, but you don't think the Dallas Stars would love to have Marc-Andre Fleury right now? You don't think the St. Louis Blues would love to have Marc-Andre Fleury? I think there's a bunch of teams that would love to have Fleury right now. I mean, he's got the Stanley Cup pedigree. Has he struggled a little bit this year and at times in the playoffs? Absolutely. But he's a bona fide number one goaltender, I believe. And if you look at what he was doing with the Penguins last year, guys, it was incredible. And then Matt Murray kind of stole the show.
Well, because Fleury got injured.
Right. And so, I mean, he's still a very good goalie, and you forget that he's not as old as you think. He's still in his early 30s. So, I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury, I think, is an interesting case. I mean, Colorado, because they're completely out of the playoffs, you expect them to make some move, whether that's trading a big name like Matt Duchene or trading Jerome Iginla. By the way, Jerome Iginla is a big name, but I mean, he's towards the end of his career.
Sure.
So, I mean, I would expect there's more chance that Colorado makes a bigger move, I think, than Pittsburgh. Because if you look at it, Drew, Marc-Andre Fleury is under contract. And you mentioned he has the no-move clause. They can only protect one goalie, though.
Yeah.
Or they have to expose one goalie. Same thing.
If they don't get if they don't trade Marc-Andre Fleury,
right,
they have to expose Matt Murray, and Matt Murray is going to be drafted in the expansion draft, no questions asked.
Okay, though, but the problem for Jim Rutherford is what happens if they trade Marc-Andre Fleury and then Matt Murray gets injured towards the end of March?
Well, that's the only sort of wild card is maybe they hold on to him and try and they dump him for pretty much probably not a ton, say right after the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, in late June,
right
before they have to submit their protected list for the expansion draft. But if you're waiting that long, you're not going to get any return on your asset at
you
that
point.
You
have to get a big return, guys, because
you can't get a big return the later once it's after March 1st. And
no,
I don't know you're going to get a big return.
No, I'm saying before
now.
March 1st.
Right.
Like, you're not going to just give Marc-Andre Fleury away because you need him for the playoffs. I mean, you need to have two good goalies for the playoffs. And we know Pittsburgh is a Stanley Cup contender again this year, right, Dave? So, I mean, they're not going to just get rid of Marc-Andre Fleury because of the expansion draft. I think they're going to get rid of him if they think they can get a nice return.
I think when you're a defending Stanley Cup champion and you know that you have a chance to repeat, you have to take all that as your kind of focus. And you know, sure, the expansion draft is important and you can't lose sight of that. But at the end of the day, like, you know, we saw what happened when Montreal was in the playoffs and everyone thought they were going to win the Stanley Cup a few years back. And, you know, I think it was Chris Kreider when he crashed into Carey Price, you know, ended that dream.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how easily a goaltender, if you lose him in the playoffs especially, you're done. And who from the AHL Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins is going to come up and take,
nobody,
you know, one of the spots for either Murray or Fleury if you've traded him?
Well, you remember Jeff Zatkoff actually started the playoffs for the Penguins last season.
Right. So that's the whole point, though, Drew. So if you're going to do that and you're going to have a situation where, you know, you think of yourself as a playoff team, then, you know, sorry, not just a playoff team, but a team that could potentially win the Stanley Cup, then you have to, I'm not saying throw caution to the wind, because you still have to think about, you know, a few years down the line. You don't want to leave your team, you know, bereft of talent. But at the same time, you know, the Stanley Cup is what your goal is. It's not, hey, we want to be good for the next 5 to 10 years.
Sure.
It's, we want to win the Stanley Cup this year. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, those guys want to win another cup.
I think your point is valid, Dave, and I don't disagree with you, but I think you're sort of, you know, Jim Rutherford and the Penguins Brain Trust has to sort of weigh the pros and cons of going one of two ways. If they hold on to Marc-Andre Fleury, that means you're going to trade him. You know, if you hold on to him past the trade deadline and you use him in the Stanley Cup, you know, playoffs, whether or not you need to or not, but you have them for the Stanley Cup playoffs, that means you're not going to be able to get really much of any return for him when you try and trade him in, you know, middle of June. Meanwhile, if you trade him now, you're going to get a bigger return, but you're really leaving yourself quite thin in goal behind Matt Murray. If something bad was to happen to Murray, you don't really have a viable starting goaltender for the playoffs if Matt Murray was to go down with an injury.
Right.
So it's a risk-reward.
Yeah, and, you know, I just wanted to get it in that Tristan Jarry is the number one Penguins prospect in goal. He's been playing the majority of the games for Wilkes-Barre. He's been actually very good. He's got a .920 save percentage and a goals against of 2.22. He's 21 years old, though. He used to play for the Edmonton Oil Kings. He was a second-round pick back in 2013. So they're not going to go into the playoffs, I think, with two goalies under 25 years old. Huh. So,
look down the road here to the MTS Center about what happens when you have two inexperienced goaltenders.
If you ask me, I don't think they're going to trade Fleury before the trade deadline. That's just my personal opinion, but we'll see what happens.
I think you're probably right, and so what they're sacrificing by not trading him is they're not going to get a great return for him in June, is I think what that really boils down
but
to. Because nobody's going to pay a significant amount for Marc-Andre Fleury in June when you know that the Penguins really have no options but to almost accept whatever you're offering because they can't lose Matt Murray.
Yeah, and at that point, if you're the Penguins and you think, well, we just won a Stanley Cup again or
we came close,
then it was worth it.
And Dave, Dallas is the team that is desperate for a number one goaltender, but I think that Ben Bishop could be a better option because they know that Tampa Bay is more willing to trade him before the trade deadline.
Ben Bishop doesn't cost you anything. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Right.
So Ben Bishop, I mean, if you're the Dallas Stars and your season's pretty much, if it continues to slide towards being finished and you're not in the playoffs, the Dallas Stars don't need to trade an asset for a guy who's going to be a pending free agent. You wait until July 1st. You try and sign him then if he's available, and you say, okay, this has been a lost year, just like it's been a lost year in Tampa Bay. Sometimes it happens where everything, you know, conspires, for lack of a better word, it conspires against you, and you know, nothing good is happening this year, whether it be injuries, whether it be shoddy goaltending, whatever it might be. I'm not sure why the Dallas Stars would pay an asset to get Ben Bishop, whereas they might want to pay an asset to get Marc-Andre Fleury, knowing they have him under contract and knowing they have the cost certainty that he comes with.
Right, and Bishop and Fleury are the big names. The point is that at this point right now, the Dallas Stars are in danger of missing the playoffs. So I think they have to address their goaltending situation.
One other team, and we are just going to quickly mention it, the Philadelphia Flyers have zero goaltenders under contract for next season. Both Steve Mason and Michael Neuwirth are free agents at season's end. So they're a team to watch out for as this whole goaltending circle and drama.
Carousel,
thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Plays out over the next couple weeks and months. We're going to go to break. Then we're going to open up the phone lines. Boston Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290 is the phone number. Calls in hour number three. If the Jets fail to make the playoffs again, are you okay with the status quo continuing behind the bench and in the front office? Lots of Jets talk, whatever's on your mind. Are you pissed off about Howard Chuck not being in the top 100? We want to hear from you next. 780-1290. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN 1290. Third and final hour of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show gets underway right now. It's brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Very few tickets remain for Mark Normand. He's in town tonight, his last night in town. Very few seats remaining. rumorscomedyclub.com is the place to get those tickets. Phone lines are open, 780-1290. My understanding is they are jammed. So when you hear somebody hang up, that might be your best time to call us. But you can keep trying. 780-1290. Phone lines are open for the next hour. If the Jets fail to make the playoffs, are you okay with the status quo? We want to hear your opinion on that. Of goaltending or collective team defense, if you could only fix one problem, which one would it be? Whatever's on your mind, 780-1290. 1290. Let's go live to Dorian. Dorian, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm really good, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just on the road headed down to Spongy, actually.
Well, and good luck on that Spongy game there, Dorian. What's on your mind for regarding the Winnipeg Jets?
Well, if they don't make the grade this year as far as the playoffs, I don't see too much changing except for maybe a goaltending coach. But if next year they can't maintain consistency with the roster they got, I think they're going to have to part ways with Maurice. And I say that as a real fan of Maurice. But there's something about this group that just, as soon as they get down on themselves, they just go into a 4-5-game funk, and that's no good for us. And at the beginning of the year, I was a little disappointed with how they handled the goaltending. I guess their hands are a little bit tied with the with what's going on in Vegas. But I would have been really excited to see what Pavlik would have done with a contract year. As we've seen with other players, they can really kind of step up their game, Dustin Bufflin last year. It would have been interesting to see if they stuck with that. So not so much of that's pretty much all I got as a comment. So go Jets, go. Thanks for taking my call.
Dorian, appreciate the call. Interesting point he makes about Andre Pavlik, this being a contract year, and Dorian disappointed with the turn of events there, him being sent down early, right out of training camp, and wondering if things may have changed, been different, had Pavlik been around and maybe having a veteran netminder behind Connor Hellebuck as opposed to Michael Hutchinson, who struggled this season.
Well, guys, I don't think it's ridiculous to think that Pavlik comes back next year on a one-year contract. He's probably going to have to take a bit of a pay cut, but I mean, he's played very well, and if Michael Hutchinson is potentially claimed in the expansion draft, or you know, he isn't brought back and the Jets feel like he's better suited for the American Hockey League playing down there with Eric Comrie, I mean, it's not a ridiculous notion to think that Pavlik comes back. I'm not saying that Andre Pavlik is coming back, because there's a chance that the Jets decide to find a goaltender in free agency come July. But certainly, you know, the storyline of Andre Pavlik playing the majority of the season with the Moose and then coming back and playing four really solid games for the Jets, I think has been a very nice story.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that I think our expectations are so low when it comes to Winnipeg Jets goaltending that average goaltending somehow looks even better than it truly is. Because, I mean, Andre Pavlik has been Andre Pavlik. He's provided, I would say, average goaltending in those four games. He won a couple of them, so he gets full marks for that.
Well, the St. Louis game wasn't average. No, Pavlik was incredible.
You're right. That's right. But he was Andrei Pavlik. He is the consistently inconsistent player that we've seen for so many years. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, he's not going to change at this point in his NHL career. I think that's sort of, you know, the way it works at this point with Andrei Pavlik. Let's go to Wayne. He wants to talk about the NHL point system. Wayne, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, welcome, Evan. Thanks for having me. I got a question or a concern. I don't like this part of the NHL because in the next couple months, all these games that are going to go into overtime are worth 3 points. And today's game, our last game, was worth 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's right. If you're going to do that, why don't you put every game worth 3 points? You win in regulation, you get 3 points. You go to overtime, it's 2 points and one. Why is one game worth more than the other?
You're absolutely right, Wayne. The reason why they do it is because it makes general managers and teams look better than they are. They can say, we're only 3 points out of a playoff spot, even though they've lost way more games than they've currently won. And that's just because they get it to overtime. They get that, you know, loser point, which is really what it is. You're 100% right. And it's been something that Hustler on the station has been talking about really all season long. It's not going to change, unfortunately, simply because it inflates every team's position in the standings, makes fans believe that teams are closer to a playoff spot than they truly are, makes more tickets sold than sells tickets. It's not going to change, but I agree wholeheartedly with your comment.
Yeah, I would agree with Wayne as well. I think, you know, if you want to go with 3 points for a regulation win as opposed to 2 points for a regulation win, I think, I would have no problem with that.
Yeah, and then, like, it just makes the last 5 minutes of the game boring, right? They're just both holding out for overtime.
Yeah. For most teams, some of the Jets often lose those games when both teams are ready to go into overtime. But you're absolutely right, Wayne. It's a problem that fans acknowledge, but it's not a problem that the NHL acknowledges.
That's right. One more comment just before I go.
Please.
Austin Matthews is better. Thank you.
Bye. Wayne, not making any friends, but a very good call there. 780-1290. That's the Boston Pizza fan line. Phone lines are lighting up, so be patient. If you don't get through, keep on dialing. Let's go to, we knew he was going to call in because we're huge in the Netherlands. It's our good friend Rowdy is calling from the Netherlands. Rowdy, good morning. It's been a long time. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thank you very much for taking my call. It's been 2 years already. Last time I called in was before the Evander Kane trade.
Wow. And you, of course, joined us in studio for a show when you came to Winnipeg to visit your family a couple years ago. Good to hear from you again, Rowdy.
Yeah, for sure. It's been so long already. I've been anxious for months now to call in again.
We don't take calls that often. You know, Twitter's the way to get us, @IllegalCurve. What's on your mind?
First of all, last time around, I gave a shout out to you, Drew, to Essie, and to Richard. So this time around, I want to give a shout out to the entire Illegal Curve crew, from Dave to Rory, from Sean and Joel to Peter. Illegal Curve is still my favorite show.
That's awesome.
Also, go to illegalcurve.com. pretty often. Per day, so you guys are all doing a phenomenal job, and I wanted to give you all a shout out for that first and foremost.
Thank you, Rowdy. That's very kind of you to say. We appreciate those kind words. From your perspective in the Netherlands, how would you assess the Winnipeg Jets season? What have been the biggest problems that you've identified so far this season?
Mostly it would be the lack of defensive coverage. I'm a big fan of possession stats, since it can provide a clearer image for me, since I am rarely able to watch the games themselves. And when I look at those stats, the Jets have fallen off a cliff, basically. They used to be pretty darn good in shot suppression, but it hasn't been there this year. And to me, that's a big reason why they're struggling so much. It certainly hasn't helped out the goaltending. The goaltenders have struggled too, but I still really like Hellebuck. I still see a lot of talent in him, and I still truly believe that he can be a true number one goaltender. But whatever happens this season, I know you might not like this comment, Drew, but I think if this goes on to next season, that then that's the time for me to fire people. This is for me the big transition year from the remainder of the Atlanta Thrashers core to the new Winnipeg Jets core. And to me, if they're in this position next year too, then I'm really concerned. But of course, I'm a bit concerned now too because it hasn't gone the way it should have. But I'm willing to be patient for at least for this season too.
Rowdy calling from the Netherlands says that the Jets should be patient for another year. Ezzy's got a question, I think, or a comment.
Well, I mean, Rowdy makes a good point there, and I think the defensive coverage has at times not been good enough for the Winnipeg Jets, and you know, some of that has to do with the fact that Jacob Trouba was out of the lineup and didn't play for the first 13 games. They've missed Tyler Myers, who hasn't played since early November, and you know, you've got a rookie defenseman in Josh Morrissey, who has been unbelievable, and I think has exceeded expectations for the Winnipeg Jets. They had high expectations for him, but absolutely, I mean, we know that the goaltending hasn't been good, but at times the defensive zone coverage has left much to be desired as well.
I want to give Rowdy a big thanks for reading IllegalCurve.com multiple times a day. That's music to my ears. I appreciate the shout out, but reading IllegalCurve.com, Rowdy, is always a way to my heart.
Oh, you saw all those hits coming from the Netherlands. You knew who they were coming from.
I knew we were big in the Netherlands, but now I know why.
Rowdy, thank you for the call. It's good to hear from you. And next time you're in Winnipeg, you be sure to come by and visit us again.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a great day.
You too, Rowdy. One more call before we go to break. We'll do it on the other side again. So 780-1290, that's the phone number to dial. Greg, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Yes, good morning, guys and gals, I guess. Thanks for taking my call. For good or for bad, I'm from a family of psychologists and psychiatrists, and so I've been somewhat overanalyzed. But aren't we all? Yes.
Or forgive you if you have a Freudian slip.
I wasn't like Freud, though. I never did the things he did, but my mom said, don't do that.
What's on your mind?
You know, guys, I'm thinking about Paul and how, and Buff, actually, geez, Buff has 32 points right now. It's everybody says this and that, and the guy's never hurt, and blah, 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 da, da, da. But, Paul Maurice strikes me like one of my great uncles, as he's kind of like a tender of human souls. But I think that there's a heck of a lot more psychology involved with this game, and I'm more retired, but thing is sports kind of gets everybody going, and it's so exciting. Last night and the night before, and we were talking about the games, and it's amazing what happens when the team wins in the whole city. Everybody's happy, but winning and losing really in the end doesn't matter. But to castigate somebody like Paul Maurice for these poor coaches must go through living hell all the time.
Greg, appreciate your call. Thanks very much for your calling in and for your opinion. I'm going to have to respectfully disagree that winning and losing does matter, unfortunately. I'm sure coaches, it's a stressful job. Nobody's disputing that. And then there's certainly a strong element of psychology involved in being an NHL head coach. But they're well compensated, and they're well compensated because the expectations are
that
they win games.
And Drew, I think he maybe is more so talking about how this is a young team, and they've had the ups and the downs, and nobody really expected the Jets to be a Stanley Cup contender. So maybe there's something that he deserves credit for as far as the way he's managed this team through those ups and downs. Hey, at the end of the day, it is a results-driven business, Drew. And that's why, a guy like Gerard Gallant was let go earlier this year. We see it every year. Coaches lose their job. I never want to see anybody lose their job. So I'm not going to, sit here and say that Paul Maurice should be fired, because right now I think the Jets are pretty much where we thought they would be.
It's a fair point. I don't take any pleasure in calling for anybody's dismissal, certainly, but
except
I do think Ezra's dismissal doesn't bother me in the least bit. But it is a results-oriented business, and when the results aren't there, unfortunately, somebody has to lose their job. I mean, that's just the sad reality of the situation. The phone lines are open. Sorry, Dave, go ahead real quick.
No, I was just going to say, I just think Greg's overarching point was the fact that he's just talking about the positivity that comes from the city and how people just get talking and how his family, it becomes a debate and has a conversation about it. And to be honest with you, when I go to the office on a daily basis and I'm talking to, you know, my dad or whatever, my brother, it's something we talk about. It's something about, you know, he talks about the Jets game and stuff. So it is interesting how much more engaged people are in the conversation with, you know, each other just about the Jets and what happens. And, you know, again, everybody's entitled to their opinion, including Greg.
The phone lines are open, 780-1290. We'll head to break and we'll come back with more callers on the other side. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290.
Are you asking for audio?
20 minutes past 11 in the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. The show that doesn't take calls is taking them this morning. Boston Pizza Fan Line is open. 780-1290 is the phone number. Phone lines are jammed. If you get a busy signal, we'll get to you real quick. Just keep trying. Don't be patient. That's all we have to say. If you prefer, if you're more of a Twitter-based individual, at Illegal Curve is where you can find us on Twitter. If you got send us any good tweets, we'll try and read them on air as well. Let's go to Randy. Randy's been patiently waiting. Randy, good morning. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Nope, looks like we've lost Randy. Okay, so we're going to continue on. Next up, Bob. Bob joins us on the program. Bob, good morning.
Hello, Ezra.
Oh, Bob, how's it going? Cosmic Bob, nice to talk to you.
Oh, the feeling's mutual, Ezra. I just had two very quick questions for you guys.
Please.
Does Patrick Lane play golf?
I don't know.
Just curious, you know. He's got something golfing about that release. And my second question was, Gary was saying that he saw him in the dressing room and whatnot. He's got a superb athletic body, but pipe cleaners for arms. I was wondering, would that mean he's developing his higher velocities in his shot by somehow translating the power in his legs, you guys?
Yes. Well, I mean, absolutely. A lot of the strength in your shot does come from your lower body in addition to your upper body. But, you know, as far as, you know, Patrick Laine playing in goal, Bob, the only problem is they need him out there on the wing scoring goals.
Yes, of course. And I couldn't help but notice, like, he has a terrific technique shooting the puck. And, you know, I was just curious, right, about he must be using, obviously, leverage through his legs.
Yes, and, I mean, you see that in golf, of course.
Yeah.
And absolutely, I mean, Patrick Laine might be 18 years old, but Dave and I stood beside him at the draft, and he's almost 6'5", you know, 200 pounds, and the guy has a very strong lower body. So I think absolutely that 102-mile-per-hour shot that he has, a lot of that power, you know, comes from those thighs.
Oh, it's remarkable to see such athletic grace like that.
Bob, appreciate the call. Always like hearing from Cosmic Bob on a Saturday.
Right on.
Thanks very much, Bob. You know, question comes in via Twitter from Donald. Says, hey guys, what is one move you'd make if you were the Jets GM? I'd move a vet or two for a left-handed defenseman.
Yeah, that's a good question. And right now the Jets are a couple of points, you know, out of that wild card spot right now. And, you know, Drew Stafford is a player that I think is a possibility to be traded. So, I mean, for me, Drew, the biggest weakness on this team is probably the lack of another veteran left-shot defenseman. And we talked about it. I mean, especially with Jacob Trouba going back to the right side, you know, they're weaker on the left side, and they don't have Tyler Myers in the lineup right now. Obviously, he's a right-hand shot. But, you know, you look at some of the prospects. Where are the Jets strongest? They're strongest at forward and in goal.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of Josh Morrissey's in the pipeline right now.
There's nobody in the
pipeline. So Josh Morrissey and Toby Enstrom are your top two options on the left side. But after that, the Jets are pretty thin.
Certainly. I mean, the lack of of quality defensemen at the AHL level. And, Dave, you can speak to this as well as anybody because you watch the Moose as much as anybody in the city. The lack of, you know, defensemen that are banging on the door, I think, has to be an organizational concern for this team at this point in time.
Yeah, and they addressed it, was it last last year's draft or the year before, sorry, when they took a number of defensemen. So there's no question that the pipeline for D is the weakest part of this organization. I mean, you've got a number of quality forwards that are still with the Moose. You've, you know, the goaltending, again, you know, there's been some interesting comments about the Jets goaltending and how they draft, and I think we're probably having an article later on illegalcurve.com coming up about that topic, because to me, the goaltending pipeline, there's no problem with it right now. But yeah, there's definitely an absence of strong defensive prospects.
And Dave, the Jets drafted Logan Stanley with their second first-round pick of the 2016 draft. But mm-hmm. Logan Stanley, first of all, he's done for the rest of the season, so he's not going to play anymore for the Windsor Spitfires this year. But he's 2 or 3 years away, I think, from having an impact with the Jets. I mean, we all expect him to play some significant time with the Moose before he plays for the Jets, right? So, I mean, they do have some prospects in the system. Luke Green is another guy that they drafted.
Sammy Niku?
Yeah, Sammy Niku. So, I mean, the Jets do have some guys in the system, but these guys are 2 or 3 years away.
I think we're going to go to Gary. He wants to talk about Jacob Trouba. Gary, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks for joining us this morning.
How are you guys?
Good, Gary. How are you?
Good. First off, I wanted to give you guys some heavy accolades. I've been listening to the show while doing errands all morning, and really profound, deep, intelligent discussion. So you guys don't get enough credit, so great job on that.
Yeah, Gary, you must be talking about Dave and Drew.
Yeah, Ezra, how do you know? I'm just kidding. So a couple things. So first off, Jacob Trouba has absolutely been phenomenal. I mean, there's that transition point where he was kind of getting, once he got back in the lineup, you could see he's shaking off a bit of a rust, some rust, but now that he's back, he's just been absolutely incredible. But I think that the elephant in the room is that, hey, like, they haven't brought up that he still wants to be traded, or if it's rescinded. I mean, officially he said he rescinded, but I think that's a really, really big factor going into the offseason. Two, my second point is I would prefer if the Jets, you know, especially with trade deadline, I would want them to either be in it, having the race, and, like, comfortably in a playoff spot or well below. Mm-hmm. Because last thing we want is, like, oh, we're going to hold on to Drew Stafford and these guys that, you know, we could move for assets to kind of help augment bottom pairing left and right, because clearly Sherrod, Postma just aren't doing a sufficient enough job. But three, Brian Little, after this year, is in his last year of his contract. So I'm curious to see what you guys think as far as contract projections and how long you'd sign him and for what rates.
Gary, really appreciate the call. Some great points there.
Yeah, Gary makes a few points there, yeah, to address his last question there. I mean, you know, he mentions Brian Little is in the last year of his contract next year. And, mm-hmm, I mean, what a contract that was. I mean, I think he's been a great bargain for what he's making. I mean, I think you have to sign him, Dave. And we know that a couple years from now, Patrick Laine is going to be in his second contract. Nikolai Ehlers next year is going to be the last year of his entry-level deal. So Nikolai Ehlers and Patrick Laine are probably going to command, what, $7 million plus? Laine might be getting $9 or $10 million a year. I mean, so, you know, the Jets are going to have some salary cap issues a couple years from now. But I think absolutely, I would have absolutely no problem with Brian Little, you know, getting a 4 or 5 year contract after next year.
I mean, there's a lot of talk. Remember, there's Jack Roslovic that's in the pipeline, and mm-hmm, and a lot of people see Jack Roslovic as a kind of heir apparent to a Brian Little. Now, is the proper way to bring Jack Roslovic up to play him on the third line center as opposed to being right away thrust into that second line center role after maybe a year or two with the Manitoba Moose? It's not for me to say, but, you know, it's definitely a possibility. I see the Brian Little in Jack Roslovic, watching Jack Roslovic play, who actually will be at the AHL All-Star game this week, starting, I think, Sunday. So, you know, there's another player that Jets fans are going to have to look forward to at center. But, yeah, I don't think there's any question you give. I mean, we spent a segment talking about Brian Little. I don't think there's any question you give a guy like Brian Little if you think that this team can win. I mean, if you don't, then you have to think about trading him, obviously. But, again, I think he's a guy you keep around.
Yeah, guys, and, you know, Gary also was touching on Jacob Trouba and how well he's played as, mm-hmm, of late. I think that really is, you know,
the wild card
there. Is Jacob Trouba now interested in signing another contract with the Jets? Does he still want to be traded? I mean, I think the Jets would love to have him under contract for the next 7 or 8 years. So
the way he's played.
We don't know. I mean, Jacob Trouba and his agent really control that, don't they?
Well, they certainly will drive a lot of that negotiation. Zoltan has been waiting patiently. We go to Zoltan now. Zoltan, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. How
love,
about yourself?
Love your name because there's a Z in it.
I'm always at the end. It's all right, though.
What's on your mind, Zoltan?
on my mind is you guys are talking about team defense and goaltending. And what I'm really looking for as a fan here is just a touch of accountability. And what I mean by that is when Paul Maurice was first brought in here, we are in the midst of two kind of controversies. Dustin Poflin was playing forward, and Andre Pavlik was, quote, might not have been playing well. And Paul Maurice came in here, and he said, I am not going to judge the goaltending until the team plays the right way in front of the goaltending. And we all sat back as fans, and we clapped our hands, and we said, oh, this sounds really nice. This sounds great. And so now on your poll or your question today that you're asking the fans, you're saying, is it team defense or is it goaltending? I don't know, but all I can do is refer back to what the boss said. And the boss said he cannot judge the goaltending until the team plays the right way in front of them. And that kind of leads us back to the second kind of controversy, Dustin Poflin. Not too sure, hot and cold, and when he's cold, he's really bad. Team defense, penalties, it starts to look like Paul Maurice was not really practicing what he was preaching. I'm going to leave you guys with that. Thank you very much, and have a great Saturday.
You too, Zoltan. Appreciate the call. Appreciate your comments regarding Paul Maurice, regarding the goaltending, regarding Dustin Poflin. It's amazing. It's year six, and it's almost the same conversations year after year after year. And Zoltan, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I heard a touch of frustration in his voice, and I totally understand where he's coming from. Got to go to break. Ian, Mark, Ken, Rocky, you're all up next after the break. 780-1290. We'll try and get as many on as we can over the next 30 minutes. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's an IC Saturday on TSN 1290. Bottom of the hour here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're taking phone calls. It's a rarity, so you can get in on the Boston Pizza fan line, 204-780-1290. A lot of questions coming in via Twitter. Both Ronnie and Jarrett wants to know about the status of Tucker Poolman. And, you know, are we concerned that he's not going to sign with the Winnipeg Jets? If he doesn't, he can be an unrestricted free agent.
And Dave and I have both watched him play for UND, and he kind of reminds you of Buff at times with his size. And, you know, he's put up some good numbers. He obviously won a national championship last year with the University of North Dakota. And he has to sign his contract. We expect this to be his last year with UND. So I think he will end up signing with the Winnipeg Jets, and it remains to be seen if he starts the season with the Moose or the Jets, but I would assume that he's going to spend some time with the Moose.
Yeah, my thought is he just wanted to play a year with his brother who's now with UND, and he's an East Grand Forks kid. You know, the thought of playing up the road, Mike McIntyre did an interesting feature with him for the Free Press a few weeks back. That was a good read about Tucker Poolman and his, you know, the way he plays for the what are they called again? Yeah. Fighting Hawks?
As Dave mentioned, he's from East Grand Forks. I expect him to sign with the Jets.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody who knows the UND program, and he said that he definitely wanted to spend that year with his brother.
Yeah, there's no question.
And it's not, Jets fans shouldn't be overwhelmingly concerned that he hasn't signed.
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned.
The expectation is that he will likely sign. I would expect it would be probably at the end of the UND season. They're not having a great year. They might be eliminated early. Maybe he gets a little bit of playing time at the end of this season with either the Moose or the Jets, depending on if the timing all works out. Great questions from Ronnie and Jarrett.
And the Soch.
And Soch, yes, as well, asking that via Twitter, at Illegal Curve. We go back to the phone line, 780-1290. It's the Boston Pizza fan line. Ian, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Nope. Looks like Ian, we lost Ian there. If he hears us, wants to call back, 780-1290. Mark, welcome to the program. How are you this morning?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. What's on your mind, Mark?
I know you guys have been talking about the defense, but I got another. I'll just talk a little more about it.
Sure.
I'm a Red Wings fan first, so I don't get to see as many Jets games as I'd like to, but I'm always checking out the game card after their games are over. And their top four D-man, they seem to be played a lot. Their bottom two guys have like 6 minutes, 8 minutes, and their top guys are all playing over 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and I'm just wondering if that's just burning out those top four guys, and if those bottom guys are they just not good enough to play more minutes, or what the deal is?
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes in there are games where they are not good enough. This past game against Chicago on Thursday night, Paul Postma and Mark Stewart, it was a tough game for both of them, and okay. Paul Maurice, had to ride Bufflin and Enstrom and Trouba and Morrissey, and he rode Bufflin and Trouba up over 28 minutes a game, which is certainly a significant amount of ice time. The Jets' bottom pairing defense this year, the Jets never had their full contingent of defensemen. Tyler Myers has been out now, seems like almost the entire year.
He logged big minutes. Tyler Myers last year was averaging, I think, 27 minutes a game.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Jacob Trouba, the first 13 games of the year, he didn't play. So that meant Dustin Bufflin was playing sometimes 30 minutes a night. So I think that was a factor. And the Jets, I don't think, have as much depth on defense because of that, right? You don't have Tyler Myers. Right now, Ben Chiarot's injured, but yeah. We don't think that's long-term. But certainly, I think that is an issue for the Jets. They, I think, would love to have, their third pair playing 14, 16 minutes a game. You see some teams, even out that ice time a little bit more. Certainly, Chicago isn't one of those teams. The St. Louis Blues are one of those teams. I think that is an issue that probably has to be addressed either via trade or in the free agency market.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much for that, Mark. 780-1290 at Illegal Curve is how you want to reach us on Twitter. Ali asked on Twitter, do we have any idea what is up with Tyler Myers? Same status report? Nothing's changed on that front?
It's a lingering injury, yeah. And the Jets have obviously not disclosed what that injury is, but certainly we didn't expect Tyler Myers to be out of the lineup. I mean, we thought he might miss, at most maybe 10, 15 games. And there's also a personal matter that he's dealing with. So, I mean, you hope that he's able to come back this year.
Yeah, and I think the personal matter is kind of thrown off his rehab a little bit. So he's trying to physically rehab his injury, whatever it is. Again, all we know is lower body and day-to-day, which is officially the longest day-to-day injury in the history of that term.
Mm-hmm.
But, whatever his family situation is, unfortunately, perhaps impeding his ability to be here in Winnipeg. And obviously anything to do with family is more important. So, you want to do whatever is best for your family to get them better. And then, of course, then you can focus on yourself. So it's unfortunate for Jets fans because, if you have Tyler Myers in the lineup, then Paul Maurice is really able to run a defensive crew that he would be a lot more happy with than what he's presently got.
Yeah, I can tell you this much. Paul Maurice would love to have the big man back there, playing 25 minutes a game. So
sure. It makes a lot of your 5-6 problems on your bottom pairing, go away real quick if you have a guy like Tyler Myers back there. Ken wants to ask about Tyler Myers. Ken, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, that was just like the best possible answer you gave to my question I had for you, actually. I was wondering what the status was on Tyler Myers. I know I got a buddy of mine that works for the Jets. He happened to see what's his name? The big guy from the Spitfires was there at the game last
Morgan Wednesday. Morgan Stanley.
Yeah. Yep. He said he's open with an injury for the year.
Yes, he's tore his ACL.
It's not necessarily for the year. They say it's 4 months, so he could potentially come back for the Memorial Cup.
It's a torn ACL, though, yeah. So that's a significant injury.
Windsor hosts the Memorial Cup this year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so they might get him late, maybe. Okay.
That's right. That's what they're saying. They potentially could have him back for the Memorial Cup.
And the story I've heard, too, on Tyler Myers is the fact that his surgery he had, because he had the two of them last spring, so close together that possibly one of them didn't take too well. That's what caused him day-to-day. The injury that he had was a re-aggravation of what he tried to get fixed on one of the two surgeries. I don't know which one it was.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything to that effect, so we don't want to speculate about that. All Jets fans know is that he's been out of the lineup now going on for a number of months, and that's that's of most concern. And obviously, Tyler Myers, I'm sure, as frustrated as Jets fans are, I'm sure Tyler Myers is way more frustrated because he sees when you lose a year of your career, you can't get that back. Ken, appreciate the call, and thanks for listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Yeah, Drew, I like, just quickly here, we just got a tweet from @LoveMeTender.
Mm-hmm.
He asks, on the second anniversary...
He's a big Elvis fan.
Yes. On the second anniversary, did both teams lose the Evander Kane trade?
No. I think it's clear that the Jets didn't lose the Evander Kane trade because Jack Roslovic is still a tremendous talent and a tremendous prospect. And Joel Armia, who's going through a bit of a rough patch, has played significant minutes for the Winnipeg Jets this year. And Brendan Lemieux, by all accounts, still has a bright future in the NHL. You know Now, Tyler Myers has been a disappointing. Drew Stafford has been, well, Drew Stafford. I mean, if you were expecting much more out of Drew Stafford, you're probably were overreaching with your expectations.
And Drew Stafford was a pending UFA when they got him.
That's right, and they signed him, and he's been fine. He's at the tail end.
I agree with you. I mean, I think the Jets clearly won this trade.
Yeah, Evander Kane has been the same player that we saw with the Winnipeg Jets. You know,
he does have 14 goals.
Okay, yeah, he's tantalizingly talented, but is never going to be a consistent 30-plus goal guy. Zach Bogosian is a stay-at-home defenseman who has warts.
Scored his first goal of the season recently.
He's not going to be
the game winner.
He's not enough. He's not going to be an offensive guy by any stretch of the imagination. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be Zach Bogosian. You're going to be able to. He's going to force him into some mistakes if you pressure him.
I think you win or lose that trade based on the. Not the players that you got today, but maybe the ones that, like you said, Drew, Jack Roslovic. Yeah. I think he ends up being the key.
You got to throw in Brendan Lemieux, too.
Yeah, Brendan Lemieux is a nice piece, but I'm just saying, like, Jack Roslovic, to me, has the best upside of the entire trade.
Absolutely. And if Jack Roslovic turns out to be what we would expect, then it's a clear victory for the Winnipeg Jets. But, I mean, time will tell on that front. 780-1290. I think we have some phone lines open, so you can give us a shout right now. We're talking about the Winnipeg Jets. If you are, you know, still upset about about Dale Hawerchuk being left off the top 100 NHL players of all time, you can touch on that question. We also asked, if the Jets fail to make the playoffs again, are you okay with the status quo continuing behind the bench and in the front office for another season? 780-1290. We go to Rocky. Rocky, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just to kind of touch on a few of those things that you're mentioning. First of all, I know there's a comment a little bit earlier about are the Jets where we expected them to be? And to me, I mean, the answer to that is no. We're 6 years in, and yes, I expect an improvement. It shouldn't be black or white. With respect to draft and develop, it's a situation that they should be able to make strides on some of the things that they're still suffering with. And you take a look at some teams like Edmonton and Toronto, Columbus, Carolina, all young teams. The common denominator is they got some good, solid goaltending there, veteran presence. If you're going to go with young goalies like Anaheim did a couple years ago, I mean, look at the team they had up front. If you want to run with a younger team, then you need some veterans in the goaltending, at least one anyway. So I take a look. It's not just that, but I also look at Edmonton with Peter Chiarelli and Todd McClellan coming in. Toronto, they brought in Shanahan, Lamoriello, Babcock. They got more Stanley Cups and Olympic rings than I have fingers and toes. What have the Jets got? Zero playoff wins. I'd like to see some improvement there, you know, over the course of time. It's not just black and white. I mean, with Maurice, I hope the best for him and everything. My biggest problem is he keeps trumpeting injuries, schedule, and all this, and they might be valid reasons, but after a while it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, it's just I didn't hear Montreal coming in here when they were down 7 regulars. And talking about how woe is me. Meanwhile, they come in and lay the boots to the Jets, you know. And then after the Jets get their schedule straightened out a little bit, then they lay eggs with the Islanders, Montreal, Arizona. It's just, it's a built-in excuse. Not an excuse. Everyone's got, some challenges with the schedule and stuff like that. And there might be valid reasons. But when you start hanging your hat on that, and injuries and things like that. It's just, it becomes, the team buys into that. And to me, it's just not a way of overcoming that. Now, my question, do you think Matthew Perreault is he injury prone? That's kind of a question.
Rocky, really appreciate the call. Great insight onto the coaching, and I hear your frustration. I'll tell you what we're going to do, Rocky. We're going to address your Matthew Perreault question on the other side of the break. It's one final segment. We still have time for a few more calls. 780-1290. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We come back to answer Rocky's question about Matthew Perreault. One final segment this Saturday morning here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 780-1290. We'll try and fit as many calls in as we can. want to make mention and give a big thanks to all our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jerseys. Please support these fine local businesses because they support the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Before the break, we were talking about Matthew Perreault. And would you describe, Rocky wanted to know, would you describe Matthew Perreault now as injury prone?
Well, I mean, to put it simply, yes. I mean, Matthew Perreault, especially over the last few years, you know, has missed significant amounts of time in the Jets lineup. And, I mean, that's not a knock against Matthew Perreault. And I realize, you know, some people point out to the fact that, you know, he's a smaller player. But, I mean, he is injury prone. And, you know, is that something that is going to factor into the Jets' decision on whether or not to protect him? I think it will. And he's got 4 years left on his contract after this year. And I'm a big fan of Matthew Perreault's game, by the way. I think when Matthew Perreault is at his best, he's a dynamic offensive player. He's got great speed. He's got great puck skills. He's a guy that can score. He can make plays. He can be a playmaker. But, yeah, absolutely. When you look at, you know, his time in Winnipeg, he's missed significant amounts of time.
So, yeah, I mean, he played 62 games in his first year with the Jets, then 71 in the following year. So, you know, he misses a chunk of change. He's a smaller guy. He definitely takes a lot of abuse. That's the one thing about Perreault.
He plays sort of a reckless style.
Not reckless, I mean,
a negative sense of the word, but he is sort of Crash Bandicoot out there a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, you know, he's not afraid to mix it up, I guess, in the sense that he definitely will take some blows.
By the way, Drew, I would say more Sonic the Hedgehog.
I was using the word crash more. That was the purpose of the crash.
But yeah, no, I think it's, there's no question that Perreault is a small, you know, he's a smaller player, and you know, it has a tendency to get some pretty vicious hits. Well, you know, we saw the Corey Perry one, which for some reason the NHL decided wasn't reviewable.
Drew, Dave, sorry, if my count is correct, I think he's missed 60 games over the last 3 years with the Jets, and back in 2012-13, he missed half of the season. So he does have an injury history.
Yeah. And I just think, like, you know, again, like I said, that's part of why how the NHL decided not to even look at that slash is kind of confusing, because it resulted in, and you know, to me, it's almost like, why don't you wait to find out what happened to the player before you make the determination? Because to me, it's like, why are you going to judge, you know, if you don't know what the final result is to that player? I mean, clearly,
NHL's Department of Player Safety has been odd this year. The fact that Brad Marchand got just a fine for that slew foot, sort of bizarre as well. I believe Craig is on the line. Craig, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks very much for joining us. Nope, looks like Craig decided to bail out on it. He wanted to say that to be patient with the Jets.
But he wasn't patient enough to stay on the line.
Yeah, that's kind of ironic there, Craig.
Come on, Craig, call back in. We want to hear from you.
The patience argument, it doesn't hold weight with me anymore. I got to tell you guys. And I've been pretty vocal about this over the last couple months.
Patience is a virtue, Drew.
It is a virtue. It's a great virtue. But it's been 6 years. That's pretty good patience.
Yeah, but
people,
you know, hold on a second. Everybody says it's been 6 years. I mean, look at it as just this year. I mean, don't look at the past. I mean, the first couple years, even the first 3 years, I would say, I mean, we're living in the present here. I don't think...
Okay, presently I'm disappointed with their performance.
Sure, but I mean, people say, well, it's been 6 years and the Jets have only made the playoffs once. Well, how many people expected the Jets to make the playoffs in those first couple of years? So that was a write-off as far as I'm concerned. And look at the present moment. I mean, you know, I can see maybe looking back to the last couple of years, but, you know, the Jets, we know, have rebuilt their team on the fly through the draft. So has this year been disappointing? I mean, I'll say it again. I predicted that the Jets would make the playoffs. They're a couple of points behind, you know, that final wild card spot. I think they're exactly where I thought they would be.
I'll tell you why it's disappointing from my perspective. And you make your points about they are where you thought they would be.
Well, maybe with the exception of having three or four more points.
Okay, well, three or four more points puts them into a playoff spot.
Yeah.
But the way I look at it is they're performing. Their players, they're individually are performing very well. They have four players in, the top 30 of NHL scoring?
Three. Four. Yeah.
Wheeler, Scheifele, Ehlers, and Laine.
Yep.
And the fact that you have four guys in the top 30... and you can't turn that into tangible on-ice results.
Well, it shows you it's a team game.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact is this team has never lacked for primary scoring from the guys like Ehlers, Scheifele.
It goes back to my point, though, that if with a different – I don't want to say different coaching staff, but with a maybe a different philosophy. I think you look at the – I think if other teams look at the Winnipeg Jets and they look at their roster and they look at their talent and they would say, how are they not a playoff team? And that's the problem that bothers me.
But you have to have the goaltending. You have to have the defense. You have to have the special teams. I mean,
then why don't you address these issues?
You can't just win with offense.
Then why don't you address the – if you have known issues –
But that's a question for Kevin Cheveldayoff, right? I don't have the answer for that. I mean, as far as the Jets go, I mean, I look at the games against San Jose and Anaheim, right, Drew? I think we'd all agree that the Jets could have won both those games.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Jets had those 4 points, would we be saying that the Jets' season is disappointing?
Probably not.
Right, so that shows you how...
But they didn't win the games.
No, but I'm just saying that shows you how close every game is and how close the standings are right now. That's my point.
Yeah, the standings are definitely close. Bill is on the line. Bill, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing very well, Bill. How about yourself?
I'm not so bad.
That's good. What's on your mind?
You know, the one thing I got in my mind is, you know, I've seen it in the earlier part of the season. Now I see it when, you know, Lanny come back. And I think they just rely on Lanny too much to take the shot all the time. I seen it when I watched him play San Jose and Anaheim. And then Chicago. Chicago was a great one where Ehlers was coming in with Lanny, and Ehlers had a perfect shot on the net, but they relied to pass it on Lanny for the one-timer. And, you know, it's getting to the point where the goalies are predicting this. I mean, it was the same as they were doing with Ovechkin. Ovechkin doesn't get so many from the side anymore all the time because they got to rely on him all the time. And I think they're just relying on Lanny too much when they got goal scorers themselves if they would just shoot.
You know, Bill, I think you make a good point. And, I mean, you know that the Jets are going to defer to Patrick Laine. They're going to try to get him the puck. He has one of the best shots in the league. But you make a good point when you say, you know, they can't become too predictable and they can't always go to Patrick Laine. So it's up to the Jets coaching staff to kind of create schemes to make sure that the power play is not becoming too stagnant and predictable and they're going to Patrick Laine too much. But you got to remember, I mean, when you have a shot like that, they're gonna try to set him up as much as they can, right?
Exactly. I mean, look at the Calgary game the other night. Goudreau's got a heck of a shot, and he was there with, I think, Monahan. But, I mean, look, they went, what, 3-4 times tic-tac-toe back and forth. They didn't rely on just him to take the shot. So, you know what I mean? If they did a little, you know, yep. Sometimes they rely on somebody else to take the shot, you might get the goal.
Bill, appreciate the call. I would suggest that one of the downsides, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, downsides of a guy who could be a 50-goal scorer is your offense might get a little predictable and that you're going to try and get him to shoot.
And you've got Dustin Byfuglien, who's got a great cannon. I mean, you've got Nikolai Ehlers, I think, has a very underrated shot. We've seen that shot, you know, that wrist shot, certainly many times, but he's got a good slapper. So, I mean, the Jets have options, Dave. But you know that most of the time they're going to try to go to Laine.
Yeah, no, I think there's no question. I mean, the offense is going to be going through him eventually. And you know what? Try as goalies may to predict that it's going to go to him. I mean, with that shot, there's still a chance that he's going to get it past them. So, I mean, we've seen, and you'll see, fans will have a chance to see tonight if they watch the All-Star Skills Competition in L.A., Laine picking corners with his accuracy and I mean, Paul Maurice talked about it at the beginning of the season. You very rarely see a guy who can shoot that way. So when you have an opportunity to get the puck to a player like that, you do.
Want to say a big thank you to all those who called in or who tweeted at us. Some really good conversation. We appreciate you being participants in this morning's Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news is IllegalCurve.com. Big thank you to our guests, Brandon Crow, the Brandon Wheat Kings play-by-play broadcaster, Paul Edmonds, the Winnipeg Jets broadcaster, and Michael Trakos, the national hockey writer for Post Media. If you missed any of the program, it's available for download on iTunes, on tsn1290.ca, and subscribe to it or just listen to it on our website, illegalcurve.com. Very big props to producer Chris. Yep. Did a great job.
Running around.
Yeah, running around.
That a boy, Chris.
The calls. Doing a great job behind the board as well. For Dave Minuke, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.